Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location. This is Real Spoilers 187. You know why it's 187? Because we're going to murder it.
Oh.
All right. That's street lingo.
Is that what that is?
187.
It's well, you had to explain, right, yeah. Had to explain that, yeah.
No,
Joe,
I know what it is.
A few episodes back,
see,
if you remember.
See, police officer,
yeah,
187,
right,
is code.
I got it.
Police code for murder.
I got it.
For homicide. I think you guys call it a homicide.
Yeah, I call it a homicide, yes.
Well, that's only if it's a hate crime.
That's true. That's a whole different. That's a 187.1. Different codes.
Is it a point one?
Yeah, it's a point one.
If it's a hate crime.
Right, yeah.
Homicide.
Yeah, that's
I'm surprised Van Halen didn't have like a, you know, that wasn't the name of one of their albums. A 187.
For unlawful carnal hate crime.
Yeah. Well, because they did what, 5440? And that's
5150.
Yeah, okay.
You can tell
5440 is a band.
You can tell Dan was listening to college rock in the 80s.
Yeah,
unlike
like,
the rest of us with our mullets.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. 5440 was a band. 5150, which is also code for,
I think, insanity.
Escape. I think, yeah.
Like a
somebody, mental patient,
yeah,
or something like that. That was
we don't use those codes.
Yeah.
And well,
then,
they
and then OU812.
Yeah.
UB40?
No.
No.
Eat 'em and smile.
Yeah.
What's the code? What's eat 'em and smile? What's that code for?
69?
It's code for two good songs.
Yeah. No, eat 'em and smile. That's
eat 'em and
a
smile?
Great. I think that's a great record.
I honestly only remember Tobacco Road and Yankee Rose, which I both.
Going played. Crazy?
Is that on? That
that's
one? I thought
on
that was on the Skyscraper.
No. That's. No, that's not a Skyscraper, which I like Skyscraper too.
Yeah.
What is happening? What are you
we're talking about?
About
David Lee Roth's solo.
Oh,
career.
I just totally checked out for like 5 minutes.
So here's what happened.
I can
David
stick
Lee
around
Roth,
with Van Halen, but I was confused.
So he bailed.
Right.
Or they departed, whatever. And then he decided, hey, Steve Vai, you're a pretty good guitarist, and I need a good guitarist. So
Billy Sheehan on bass?
Yeah, come on.
So
board.
It was like a super band?
Kind of.
It was
kind of
like a super band.
And so you had Yankee Rose, mm-hmm. Shy Boy.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
I'm Easy.
Yeah.
Ladies Night in Buffalo is Going
Ladies
Crazy.
Night. Ladies Night in Buffalo. So, yeah, wow, there's a lot of good.
Yeah, songs, Going Crazy, that's a good song. Tobacco Road, mm-hmm. And then it gets Elephant Gun, Big Trouble, Bump and Grind. Yeah. But then you also...
Bump and Grind.
Then you also, not the,
tried to,
not
R.
The,
Kelly.
Yeah, not the R. Kelly.
He tried,
yeah.
He tried to
yeah.
jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, well, yeah, like 20 years ago.
Right,
years,
right.
Well, this is
seven.
After he did Crazy from the Heat, the EP.
Right.
Which was kind of like, it was cute.
Yeah.
But then it was like, ooh, because he did Just a Gigolo and California Girls.
Just a Gigolo, I know.
And you're like, oh, okay. Is that how you're going?
Right.
So when this came out, it was like, oh,
he was back,
sweet.
Like, this is what the next Van Halen record should have sounded like.
Yeah.
5150 was more like, I always thought, a Sammy record with Eddie on
it was,
guitar.
It was a Sammy record with really good backing guitars.
Right. And where I felt like Eat 'em and Smile was more Van Halen record, but with Steve
Without
Vai
Van Halen.
On guitar. Yeah, pretty much. And also just a little interesting footnote. Maybe this could be one of our outro songs this week.
Hey.
Interesting footnote. So I believe it was Billy Sheehan, who's the bass player, was really into like marketing and stuff. And he was like, the Spanish community loves rock music.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
like current rock music, or have they caught up yet?
Like,
isn't that a thing? Like, they're way behind it
sometimes,
like, way behind the times.
Wow, here we go.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
Thank God, thank God our location is undisclosed. So,
they're just now getting in sync,
right? So, they did it first. It was called Menudo. So he decided, so he was like, we should record this album entirely in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got a translator, and but I think they did it with like a Spanish to English dictionary.
Oh, God. Brilliant.
So it's really bad Spanish.
Oh, right. I've heard of this.
And it's,
yeah.
And, but there is, and I think it's even on Spotify, there's an entire version of this album, not a song.
The entire thing in Spanish.
The whole album in Spanish.
And broken.
Did it sell?
But no.
Okay.
Because like Spanish-speaking people heard it and they were like, what the holy hell are you saying? This doesn't make any sense.
I want to see the translations on
that album. It's like if you try to use Google Translate or something.
Right, right.
It's, that's pretty good.
So Billy Sheehan wasn't aware of translation services.
Apparently not.
So, well, A for effort.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well done.
Accent above the A.
Yeah. How do you translate reach down between my legs and ease the seat back into Spanish?
Si.
So we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So if we sound a little different, it's because
we're in an undisclosed location.
We're in an undisclosed location. We moved.
Yeah.
We moved. I moved over the weekend. And so.
Are you tired? Are you tired? Are you worn out?
Jesus Christ. You have no idea.
Yes, I do.
You have no idea.
I guess that's true. I didn't have to move three kids. I just moved from two apartments into one house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's five people. It's a full house move. It was rough. And
you
then
and DJ and Stephanie.
Yeah.
And Michelle.
And so they, and then we hired four movers and two showed up.
Oh.
So what was supposed to be like a four.
Did you hire a company?
Yeah.
Who, what company? Let's call them out for dropping the ball.
I don't, you know. Crystal booked it. I don't know. She's a project manager.
Are you going to go into the whole story?
So Kevin was here for almost all of it, and because he was going to help like set up the podcast equipment and hang the
15 hours. Screen. That's a good amount of a day, right?
Yeah, that's a good amount.
What?
Of a day. Yeah, they got there at 8:30. They didn't leave until 11:15 at night. Like that's how long the move took.
Now it's here. And it's before really not, the movers it's and not, right before the left.
It's not transportation.
No, I literally...
It's not distance.
Right, yeah, let's make that clear. I moved 2 miles from my old house.
2 miles.
Well, we're going to have to figure that in. It's going to be a good
Were they two younger
minutes.
Kids or two older dudes?
No, it was the guy that was
They
in
have
charge.
All their limbs.
They did. They almost didn't end with them, but...
But Tom's got two adults and three children.
Yeah.
A house for five people
right.
to move. So,
right.
like, there's a lot of stuff. Huh? Two dudes moving a... five-person house.
Good
that's,
Lord.
And
then,
and it was
You're
supposed
not
to be
a studio apartment.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. And so the company was scrambling to find people all day, and then they sent over like two guys, and I'm just like, and we're all like, so these guys are high, and I don't mean weed high.
Oh no.
Yeah.
They weren't just laid back. Let's
I mean,
put it that
yeah,
way.
No, I mean like you wear long sleeve shirts in the summer high.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and it's like one was heroin, the other was meth, because believe me, I know.
You know yourself.
I know what a meth head looks like, and so then they didn't last long, and I will say at least the guy that was running
out back still
the guy that was like in charge, God love him, he was really trying, you know, and he was like sure. and he was like, I know we need manpower, he's like, but that guy, those two, like, you don't want them in your house.
He sent them home. He cut them. Just
he's like, they gotta go. And we're like,
well, that's good.
Yeah. And he's like,
it's not his fault they sent him.
Yeah. I mean, he's a dude that showed up, you know, like I'm not going to yell at this guy. And so, cause God forbid if he leaves, we're screwed. Now what, you know?
Hey Kevin, can you stay till tomorrow morning at 3 a.m.?
So it was and then they finally sent over, I think more people showed up around what? 6
p.m.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was a long gap. That's why it took. So I was here and I had boxed up the podcast equipment and I had some AV equipment, and I was waiting on the table and the cart for the equipment to go on to start setting it up. And I was waiting for the TV to hook the AV equipment up to.
Jeez.
So I waited a good 5 hours.
Just before he could even start anything.
To start hooking stuff up.
I felt bad.
So I was just like moving boxes and trying to help where I could.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, man.
And then at 11:15, I call it quits. We're watching Searchers on the TV that we finally had hooked up, and then I'm like, I just got to go home. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
It was a very, very long day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah. And because it's like, I have painters coming over to the old house on Tuesday.
Oh.
So, like, I'm like, we can't be like, well, let's just find four guys. We'll do it next week. No.
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 We need to be done now.
That kind of goes against hiring movers.
Right. Yes.
We didn't hire the eventual moving company.
We'll get to it.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll get there at some point.
We didn't really feel like moving today. Yeah, so, like, you got some stuff.
Meh.
Good luck.
Yeah, they were just showing me scenes from Old Yeller. They were like, oh, you meant we misunderstood what you meant by moving.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
So on that note, perhaps we should turn our eyes to the box office. Oh, I didn't do our League of Show Shares. I'm all out of shameless plugs and stuff.
Out of sorts.
Yeah. So don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review and subscribe to us. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us a lot. If you like the show, you could share it on Facebook. You can join our League of Show Sharers. People that were kind enough to share the show this week, Brian Kelly, Linnea Thunsell, Librarian Cynthia, Julian Jordan, Chris Sanders, Lane LeVanway, Tammy Sherman Powers, Travis Tewitt, Brent Smith, Tom Comiskey, and Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. So thanks to everybody for sharing the show. It helps a lot, and we really do appreciate it. And we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. It looks like the number one movie this weekend is X-Men Apocalypse, which I was honestly a little worried about with Alice in Wonderland coming out.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, I know superhero movies are...
What's the gap between the first one and this one?
Alice?
Yeah.
It's been a while, 2011? Right?
Well, I was still working at Blockbuster.
I think technically the first Alice in Wonderland movie came out
in
1910.
How about the first Johnny Depp?
Oh.
Wasn't it 2011? And this is 2016?
I want to say... No, the first Johnny Depp was? It was I think it was 2010.
2010? Okay.
And that was a Tim Burton movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a pretty big gap in between those two. But still, I mean, you've got... It's a Disney movie. Disney's going gangbusters. You have Johnny Depp, you know? And so I was thinking... X-Men's getting pretty railed with reviews and, you know, and everyone just saw Civil War. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe Alice in Wonderland could pull it out, but no, they didn't.
It's that Jennifer Lawrence money.
Yeah. She's going to be a permanent X-Men. Like Mystique is going to be running the school here in a little bit.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, if they're going to really run, I mean, unless they really screw up the timelines, like right now.
You mean like they're doing right now?
We'll get into it. We'll get into it with the next episode. But right now, obviously they've changed the timelines. And so they're kind of rewriting the history of the movies that we've already seen. So unless they really screw that up and Mystique somehow doesn't become a bad guy, but I don't think they're going to go that far.
I don't think she's coming back.
Like, Jennifer Lawrence doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And apparently she's got some sort of blood oath. James McAvoy, Fassbender, and she all have some sort of not one of them coming back unless they all come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she said that. And she has a lot of sway over co-stars, as we've seen. So
yep.
If that, you know, because she's already come out and said that,
especially
she's,
the male co-stars.
Yeah, she does.
And she's, you know, she's like, she just hasn't, she's not sure she wants to.
I don't blame her.
Her life.
And she's really into makeup in this movie.
Well,
she's already talking about the makeup.
A Robert Downey Jr.
She did. Get into that. That's interesting.
But so it's like, and I also think that part of the reason this movie exists is so they can start to plan forward, but
sure.
Which they think they do.
It's kind of like introducing the new Avengers.
Yeah. Kind of.
I mean,
yeah.
So you're kinda, your new cast of characters.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
So
emo Nightcrawler.
But X-Men Apocalypse opened to $61 million.
It's lower than I think they were projecting 90. So that's a lot lower.
Were
than
they really? I didn't know if they're expecting that high, but that's $61 million on a $178 million budget. But you know, this is a 4-day weekend, so I think that estimate is just a 3-day estimate.
Monday
when everyone's off and it's summer, I mean, that could throw in another 20,
true.
You know, so we'll just have to see what it ends up.
It's also
next
coming
week.
Off a really good entry. Like that last one was really good.
Yeah.
Days of Future Past was really good. So,
we'll see what this one ends up doing. Number two, Alice Through the Looking Glass made $31 million. So about half of what X-Men did.
So this has Tim Burton's not involved with this besides a producer.
Well, he's got a producer's credit.
Okay.
But
he's got some alimony money kicked into it.
Yeah. Everything he makes off of this movie is
goes
alimony.
This is just
were they actually, they weren't married, were they?
Yeah.
They were common law.
Yeah. Oh.
He's got palimony money.
Yeah. Palimony. Yeah.
So, you know,
that's worse.
He's like, well, okay, fine, whatever.
Does he have anything in the pipeline?
Yeah, he's Dumbo. Got a lot in the pipeline. He's got he's got Dumbo and he's got the
Beetlejuice too.
Oh, Mrs. or Paragon.
School for
weirdo
kids.
The weird zany.
It's supposed to be really, really good.
Isn't it? Okay. It's the same thing that Peregrine's... Jim Carrey did, right?
That's coming to Netflix.
That's unfortunate.
Okay. Yeah. I get those two confused.
Yeah. Somebody Snicket's is now it's got Neil Patrick Harris.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Okay. Yes. Those two I just cannot.
Sounds like a Tim Burton movie.
Looked enjoyable based on
that. Sounds like a Tim Burton movie.
It does.
The trailer looked better than Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Just judging on the trailers, I'm like, okay, now this looks like a weird kind of a Tim Burton-y movie that I want to see.
Yeah.
And when I saw those Alice trailers, which I did not see, Tom can go into it a little bit.
Oh, wow.
It was just
see it too, Dan?
No, No.
It was boring.
Really?
It was just, and what was weird is what's Anne Hathaway's character? What is she?
The White Queen.
The White Queen. So,
Catwoman?
Yeah, so White Queen and I guess Queen of Hearts or sisters. Do we know that last time? Did I just not pay attention?
No, if we knew that.
I didn't realize that, and then I saw that in the trailer and I was questioning that.
So,
too.
Plot twist. Yeah, so it's about like the Mad Hatter is he wants to find his family, so he's really sad and pouty.
He's a Sad Hatter.
Yes, he is a Sad Hatter.
Wow.
And
that was good, Dan.
That was good, yeah. And so but she doesn't believe him, and he's like, "You must believe in me." And I'm like, "Well, but if your family's dead, like that's factual.
Yeah.
Like that's not like why don't you have faith in me? I watched my family die, but I just choose to not believe that they're dead. Go find them. Like that's not now. Obviously, they're gonna be alive because that's what a movie like this is gonna do.
Yeah.
But like just the simple.
But she
logic,
didn't believe him. Like he thought they were dead, and she's
he thought they were alive.
But we know that they're not alive.
Well, we don't know it. But you know when with a movie like this that like if he's saying I think my family's alive go on a quest to find them, the answer is not going to be though this whole quest was a waste of time.
They're really dead.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Go buy some action figures.
This is an as directed by Aronofsky.
Yeah, right.
I think the action figures
kind of... Lars Van Trier's Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Well, I was going to say, the action figures look the same as the Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru action figures from Star Wars.
The charred ones?
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, these kids movies always like to like, you need to believe in yourself and have faith. But I'm like, okay, but that's factual. Like either your family is dead or your family is not dead.
Right.
Like that's not like, I believe you can be, if you
can't will you can your family back to life.
I believe you can become a ballerina if you just try.
Right.
Like, no. And so she goes on the quest and then I forget exactly how it all works. But then you find out that like the Queen of Hearts now I got that Juice Newton song stuck in my head.
Oh, God.
I don't have that problem.
No, I do.
Yeah, you're welcome. I don't want to be alone. So
Kevin and I are good.
Yeah. Nope. So
there's your outro.
Yeah. So so you find out that the Queen of Hearts and the White Queen were sisters. And there's this. It's so the reason the Queen of Hearts head is so big, you get the origin story on that. Because
why not?
America was just clamoring.
I couldn't sit through the first one. I'm like, why?
Carter's ego?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And so they're kids and they're eating tarts and the Queen of Hearts keeps
I fell asleep.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So the Queen of Hearts keeps eating like the good parts and just leaving the crust for the White Queen, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so then the White Queen, I guess she's a white princess at this point, goes to is in the Queen of Hearts bedroom eating tarts, right? So she can finally get a good one.
Okay.
And she leaves crumbs on the bedroom floor. And the mom comes in, sees the crumbs, and gets mad at the Queen of Hearts for sneaking food into her room. And she's like, that's not me. My sister did it. And the sister won't own up to it. And then the Queen of Hearts gets mad and runs away and like runs and like falls and hits her head and it swells. And that's, which I think that's a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, what a great origin.
I'm pretty sure if you just like cut a piece out of her skull, the blood just
comes
out.
You just need
out.
To like lance that or
something. Yeah, it takes care of it. Really. There's a Dr. Pimple on Facebook.
But so I'm just like, what message is this sending? Because it's like, it's supposed to be like,
so is the White Queen the like good?
She's good. It's not really that she's the villain so much as that like you think she's so perfect and prim and proper, but she was really the problem here. And I'm like, but she wasn't the problem here. The problem is her bitch sister wouldn't share the food. Like, that's the problem.
She had to resort to stealing.
Right. And right. So,
well,
like,
how is this? The problem is if they're royalty, I mean, they should have tards just coming out their asses.
Right. Right. Yeah.
This is like, should we tarts? They're fighting over these crumbs.
Yeah, there's a shortage on tarts.
Tarts o' plenty. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you think about it, but back
plenty
then,
of tarts.
They didn't have, it's not like they had indoor plumbing or anything else. Pretty much the only perk of being royalty was tarts and people had to do whatever you told them to do.
Huh. Yeah. No,
that was
no,
pretty much it. So they were still using chamber pots and stuff. So.
Well, that sounds terrible.
So, but it was just like this is supposed to be the big reveal, is that, see, she lied to her mother. I'm like, well, you're the bitch that steals all the food.
Right. It's not, yeah, she's not, it isn't one of these like maleficent, whatever, like backward stories where like, oh, the villain really isn't the villain. Yeah. It's like,
right.
No, like this only happened because you weren't sharing food with your sister. Like, so yeah. You're not the good guy.
Yeah. You still set this. And then when you had some of your own medicine, you were a whining little bitch. Right. And you basically ran into traffic. Like,
it's called karma.
Yeah. Like, I'm
sorry.
That's teaching you to share. You're not the good guy.
That's the rule. That's what they're trying to tell.
But it was
share your tarts.
It was not a very good movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the original made what, over $1 billion?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And this movie opened to $30 million. I mean, I know it's gonna have some foreign money, but this isn't gonna get anywhere near.
It's gonna do great foreign though. It's
it will do a lot, but it's not gonna get $1 billion.
People are going to see the pretty colors. It's, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, just buy a kaleidoscope and save yourself $12.50.
It's way cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll last longer.
Yeah. That's, yeah. You know? That's right. That's right.
I don't have any foreign numbers on this yet, but it's $30 million on a $170 million budget. But again, it's not like it won't make it back foreign. It's going to do.
Honestly, $170 sounds a little cheap for a movie like this.
Well, the fact that a visual movie like this, I mean, I know X-Men has special effects, but you would think this would have the $250 million budget where X-Men.
Like these two movies were fighting over all the green screen fabric.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. Where they all, it was like a bidding war.
Somebody's going to have to do a mauve screen.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're all out of green. Can I interest you in a taupe screen?
No, I must have the green.
So number three at the box office, the Angry Birds movie brought in another $20 million. That's a 48% drop in week two. It is now up to $67.6 million.
Okay.
I feel
kids
old.
Kids movie.
That,
yeah.
I remember like when movies were based on toys.
Yeah, and now they're apps.
And like parents were outraged. Yeah. And like they're like, that's not what you make a movie. And now it's right. Like, I'm like, you turn an app into a movie?
So they've got the emoji movie. I think Sony's doing like.
No.
Oh, yeah.
The emoji movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sony's doing that.
What is this world
coming
to?
De Niro's going
to
play the poop.
And then Angry Birds. And then wasn't there. I guess that's it.
Well, you got Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, but that wasn't an app. That was a video
game. But yeah.
Well, a game that probably turned into an app that turned into a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's it. Yeah. I thought there was another
movie.
One.
Do you even have? Do you even are? Do you have to license emojis?
I have
are
no
they
idea.
Owned by anybody?
I think. Yeah,
you can make your own versions.
I think
of them,
Apple,
sure.
Like the ones that you see traditionally, I think are owned by Apple.
Well, but they're different.
Because
iPhone
like,
has their own
different versions of a
smiley
face.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
you can't
like,
just license a smiley face.
No, like that version of the smiley face, I think, is owned by
you make
Apple.
Your own.
And then Samsung has theirs. Yeah, or Android has theirs.
Yeah, sure. They're all different. But Angry Birds has a 111 million overseas already. So
Jason Sudeikis is like, finally.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know.
No, he's been in hit movies.
Oh, what? Yeah.
The We Are the Millers?
Yeah.
Was that a hit? That was a huge hit.
Oh, yeah. And then what was it? Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
No, he's
that's
done
true.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about Horrible. That's a good movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, this movie's already in a couple weeks approaching
and,
200 million.
And Olivia Wilde. So.
I mean, he's doing all right.
So he doesn't care what you think.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's like,
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde. What more do you want?
He's a huge. Yeah. He's a huge hit at home. So obviously,
he's like,
so.
I'm a millionaire, and I get to put it in Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde,
I want.
Who like was
enjoy your podcast in the French basement.
Wasn't she married to like a king or something?
No, she was married to an Italian prince.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and Jason Sudeikis is like,
and if Jason Sudeikis can steal you away, he's got to have something going for him. So
Italian prince wasn't funny.
Yeah, that's.
So anyway, that has a $73 million budget, so it's already well over double its budget in 2 weeks. So
Angry Birds
think that,
2, Star Wars.
Yes, Star Wars, Angry Birds. You know, you joke about that, but with the different properties that they like license the Star Wars onto, that's not a far stretch.
It is for Disney.
Yeah. Considering that's a Sony movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah. Number four.
It wouldn't be the first time Sony farmed something out of Disney.
Yeah. See, it might be part of the deal.
Here, can you fix this, please?
Thank you. Number four, Captain America Civil War came in with another $16 million, a 51% drop in week four. It's up to close to $400 million domestic. But go over to the foreign side.
Yeah.
It's up over $720 million foreign.
That's fantastic.
So we're up quite a bit over $1 billion. We're almost at $1.1 billion on its $250 million budget.
I just keep thinking, like, the guys at Warner Brothers is like, hey, Kevin Feige, how much is it going to take for you to get over here?
$10 billion. Yeah, could you imagine? Like, even if he wasn't under contract or didn't want to ruin those relationships, which obviously he's built up this empire over there, like, the price would just
51%
be...
51% of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, right. That's like, you are the new owner of Warner
yeah,
Brothers.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, after, like, Avi Arad, who used to be at Marvel and then decided to...
He's on the Fox side of Marvel now, yeah.
Well, he's not at Marvel anymore.
Isn't he at Sony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, I'm going to turn this into a movie career. And then it was like, well.
No, I'm not.
Oops. You don't see that name anymore.
Now Kevin Feige is in charge of Spider-Man.
But he produced the Raimi Spider-Man.
He did. Yeah.
And then he produced the Fantastic Four.
But the Hulk. Now he's like kind of like the John Peters, you know, where he's just like out there.
He sort of has an office.
He's got a name. And he's got a. Yeah.
So Captain America has made a profit, it's safe to say.
Maybe. Depending on who you ask.
I've noticed that they kicked up their marketing over this weekend.
Did they?
So,
yeah. Yeah, so
they're trying to hook into the three or four days.
Maybe they're trying to avoid the backlash for the Hail Hydra thing.
I think they're trying to suppress the box office for X-Men so they can bring that into the fold as well.
I'm telling you, Wolverine.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Number five, Neighbors 2 Sorority Rising, actually still making some good money. It's a 58% drop, but made $9.1 million in week two, so it's up to almost $40 million domestic.
It's just a big holdover until the big sausage party.
Yeah. That trailer looks kind of funny.
It looked funny. Okay.
It looks funny. I don't know.
It just depends how they can stretch the one trick all the way through.
All the way through, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I think the big surprise is Neighbors in a couple weeks has already made $30 million overseas, which I just didn't realize that an American comedy, I mean, that Seth Rogen and Zac Efron would have that much pull over there. I get like Brad Pitt,
it's Rose
De Niro.
Byrne.
And
it's Rose Byrne.
It's Rose Byrne appeal. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Just not an X-Men.
Yeah. So it's up to almost $70 million in 2 weeks, so that's not too bad at all. I don't have a budget on it, but I mean,
Neighbors, 50?
Probably.
Yeah, it can't be
pretty
more than
decent.
50 or 60.
Neighbors 3.
Didn't you guys see it?
No.
I saw it. I actually went and saw it. It's funny.
Yeah. I've heard good things.
It is. It's funny. I mean, if you liked the first one, you'll like this one. I thought the first one was really funny. This one didn't do what a lot of comedies do. It's not a cheap sequel or anything. I mean, it is really funny. I definitely would recommend seeing it if you're looking to see a fun movie. Definitely some laugh out loud moments in that one. Number six, The Jungle Book, still raking in the dough with $8.1 million, a 26% drop in week seven. It's now up to $339.6 million. It's called $340 million domestic.
Woo!
You know, it's weird with Jungle Book. I think that's part of like my why I really didn't. I didn't like the first Alice in Wonderland movie, but the new one that I really didn't. It felt like it was from another time compared to Jungle Book and Cinderella. They've gotten much better at converting these properties. I'm really looking forward to Beauty and the Beast.
Man, that looks pretty cool.
The teaser looks amazing. Yeah. The castle, the way it looks. Yeah. That's
and Alice in Wonderland. Even though it's a $170 million movie, it just felt like something that was almost direct-to-video quality.
Yeah, I mean, the last movie, which, because we were talking about it briefly, and it's like, there are parts I enjoy, because I love the stories.
Yeah,
And I love the actual, like, I mean, if you read them, the writing is so fun.
You mean to talk about the original stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, Lewis Carroll's stuff. Yeah. And aside from his creepiness, but it is, but I mean, there were aspects I like just because I enjoy the story so much, but they are, it's just a big giant CGI.
Well, I guess I always felt like the first one would make like that. It's been forever since I've seen like the original cartoon.
Although I love Stephen Fry as Cheshire Cat. It was like
he was
there's like standalone things that I like about the first movie. And I like Alan Rickman as the Caterpillar. Like, these are things that's like, oh, it should be so good. But
he's got,
it kind of
like
bummed me out.
He's got like two lines.
Yeah,
in this movie.
I
don't
know. Well, it bummed me out.
Well, I guess he was
the last movie kind of like, I was peeved right off the bat because I'm like, oh, so this is going to be like, they're kind of retconning. They're going to be like, well, and so it's not Alice in Wonderland because it's older and now we're going to see flashbacks of that.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, man, I thought it was going to be like, they're really just going to do a live action version of the original, which
I always felt like that.
What Jungle Book did, and they did it really well.
Yeah. When you get to Wonderland, I guess I always remember it being super trippy.
Yeah.
So like the idea that Tim Burton was doing like that version of Wonderland, as much as I don't like Tim Burton, like that director in that world makes sense.
Yes.
But I like,
yeah, I kind of, yeah, and I
like Willy Wonka. Like when they go, yeah,
I liked Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's true
but
to the story.
What's that?
Yeah, yeah, I guess it is.
I mean, I know that a lot of people didn't, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was
I thought it was okay. It's just that original is so good.
Yeah, I mean,
the original is just, you just can't touch it. It's really hard when they try to remake a classic.
But is it a classic?
I think it's a classic.
So I feel like for Dan, because he's closer to my age.
It's a classic. I think if you at that, I mean, I remember seeing it at the drive-in and just loving it. But,
I mean,
I
remember seeing it as a kid and liking it.
Yeah.
But I also remember it was like, it always seemed to be on TV and like, oh, we don't have like a Disney movie to show you.
Here's Willy Wonka.
Like, or, it's really good for a non-Disney
Chitty Chitty
movie.
Bang Bang.
Or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah. Maybe it's the best non-Disney
movie ever made.
So I guess, so for me, Willy Wonka is in that early VHS time for me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you could play it and rewind it and watch it so many times that you break the tape.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like that's like, it holds a place of nostalgia for that, just because I remember.
Well, and you know, I wanted a chocolate factory.
Who would?
That would be fantastic.
I think like the original was so fun and the songs were so good, and Gene Wilder
was
so,
man,
was
that tunnel,
was cool.
He's killing kids.
It's a fun movie. And it's colorful.
In
like,
his defense, they deserve to die.
They did deserve to die.
None of them actually died.
It was like after the fact.
It was like the film took place in Texas, where you can still use the "he needed killing" defense.
But I think like the songs were so good and the performances were so good. The sets obviously were magnificent and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't like how I know that it's very based on the source material, but I still feel like Tim Burton was Tim Burtoning the place up. It was a little too weird for the sake of being directed by Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that feel of it. Like,
was creep me out.
The story was good, and like, I like how they adapted the you know, the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but it was too weird. Where it's like, okay, you're doing the Tim Burton Johnny Depp weird thing, and
Depp I don't like either.
There's a lot of Tim Burton that I love though, and
oh, I
like,
love the dark, like,
yeah,
really,
I mean,
good,
it's like,
Tim Burton, but then
like the last. I didn't see Big Eyes, so I can't say.
No, neither did I.
Big Eyes was not very Tim Burton-y.
That's right.
That was the least Tim Burton.
What's that?
Was it good? Because like,
I enjoyed
like,
it. I mean,
like when he pointed out to the outfield and was aiming for, you know, the Oscar with Big Fish.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
Big
Fish.
Nice Big Eyes.
Nice reference,
like,
by the way. Well done.
Yeah, because he was I'm gonna go for the Oscar on this one, and it didn't happen. And then he was like, screw it.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, there's like even like Sleepy Hollow, which
I love Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. And it's like, I wish I think it's okay, Tim Burton, if you want to go creeping back in the shadows a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love Batman.
Ed
Wood.
I got into an argument with somebody where she was like, I can't believe you. How do you not like Tim Burton? I was like, I think he's a hack. I think he's terrible. She's like, well, you like Batman? And I was like, because it's Batman, like, just because it's Tim Burton, it's not a Tim Burton movie. Like, that's a that's just Batman.
Oh, I guess
that's a Tim Burton.
When I look at it now, it's an early Tim Burton. But like,
you
Batman,
what,
Batman Returns.
You know what happened?
That's what I mean. He's a parody of himself.
You know,
now.
You know what happened? Planet of the Apes.
Yep. I think that's the tipping
point. Not you. Not you. And just no.
Not for you.
God. No,
that's
yeah.
The thing.
It was
so like,
no.
I like it when Tim Burton does legit Tim Burton work. Yeah. Like, in his early stuff is Tim Burton. But now every movie is that Tim Burton parody. It's Tim Burton trying to be weird Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just do your thing.
Tell
don't.
You, man, I still want to see that Superman movie. I wish that movie had gotten made.
Yeah,
I
want to see him, like, I mean, I really do want to see, like, go back, and I think he tried with Big Eyes, but it's like, go back to, like, Ed Wood. Go do the Fringes.
Yeah, Big Eyes was very much more akin to, well, not as stylized.
Right.
as Ed Wood was, but definitely the whole with the concept of like, here's an artist who's not very good, but for some reason just you really find endearing.
He loves that. I mean, he does love that era of 60s and 70s kind of trash art.
Yeah.
But he loves that. He loved that. He acknowledged that, like with those Holmes and Edward Scissorhands. So there's a
lot. Right.
You know, yeah, and it's like his love of Dark Shadows, which was, it's like, yeah, I had the same love. He tried to like make that a movie, and it's like, no, it doesn't work. It's a, you know,
right. But you know, the appeal of Dark Shadows is similar to the appeal of Willy Wonka in that you had so fewer choices back then. And so when something like this snuck out of the machine.
Yeah.
And like if it had any inkling of tilting that direction, you would glob onto
it.
You know? And
because Dark Shadows, I mean, you know, and I remember watching it and being like, I should like this a lot more. But it's, you know, I remember also being bored to death watching it because it was a soap opera.
Yeah, it was still a soap opera. It was just a soap opera with a vampire. Yeah. Right.
And you just waited like, man, I hope that vampire shows up again.
I hope he bites somebody because dang it.
Yeah, because it's especially if you
watch the early ones, because for the first season, it's just a straight soap opera.
Oh yeah.
And then they introduce a vampire.
Yeah, thank God.
And but he's only in it like two or three scenes a show. And then like he takes off and then he becomes
Fred McMurray.
Yeah.
He shot his entire like parts of My Three Sons like at once, and then they had to like just do the rest of the show around him because he had to go golf.
He had
to play golf.
He was like, especially down the stretch. I don't think it was like that so much at the beginning.
But at the end.
But by the end, it was like he would shoot an entire season
in one day,
in like a week, 2 weeks, and they had all the shows written out, and they would just drop him in, and there were lots of storylines where he would travel.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
That's old school TV right there, man. Yeah. You can't do that anymore.
It was so weird. No. It took place in like 75, and there was an entire episode that he just did on Skype.
It was weird.
It was very odd.
Yeah, they beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
So go back
to the shadows.
No, that's Bing Crosby.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like that one?
Sorry, Minute Maid.
So Jungle Book has already made over 530 million foreign. So.
I would also like to point out that this is fitting. In this episode, I've made organically a Bing Crosby
and Bob Hope
and a Bob Hope reference, but not
at the same time.
A Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
That's right.
Reference.
Yeah, they nice. By themselves. That's well done.
Yeah,
good job.
Now we're off on the road to the final stretch.
Yeah,
with the 530+ million foreign, Jungle Book is up to close to 900 million worldwide on its $175 million budget.
Ta-da. I think every day, like right now, John Favreau is just getting up in the morning going, ha!
I totally agree. It's just kind of like, it's a good day to be me. Yeah, you know? How much money have my movies made so far?
Okay. All right.
Good.
Like, they didn't see that.
Yeah. Like, nobody saw that coming. Not even me.
Yeah, they're totally
trying to come off that PCU money.
Well, this is unfortunate. Number 7, the movie from last week, The Nice Guys in week 2.
That sucks.
$6.4 million, a 43% drop. It's up to $21.7 million domestic.
Yeah,
that one stings a little bit. It's in the wrong season.
Yeah, it's going to get swallowed up by big budget. I mean,
number 7 in week 2, it's got another week before it drops out. You know, probably, especially with these other movies opening up. You've got 3 movies opening this week.
Yeah. It's a shame because it is so good, but...
And one's a pop star comedy, an adult comedy, rated R.
It is.
It's the weird, uncomfortable friend that came to the Memorial Day barbecue.
And the friend that you
realize he's like, all right, man, I'll see you later.
The friend that you really like.
And you're like, okay, I'll take that deal.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm speaking from experience, but...
Were you the friend?
I'm the nice guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the restroom to drive it away. At my house.
Suckers.
That's how I do it.
So
Irish exit.
That's right.
So we'll see where that one ends up. I mean, hopefully it will find some love on VOD.
It should. I mean, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang did.
It's a good movie. It's just unfortunate that it opened at the wrong time of the year.
Yeah,
you know,
it was bad timing.
Yeah.
Like we said, it should have been late August. Or I wouldn't want to put it up against Suicide Squad.
I think it would have been a great February movie.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have been one of those weird January, February awesome movies.
Yeah.
And it's also like to counter program it. Normally, if all the like big summer movies were terrible, but the fact is there's some really good ones.
And there's still some
that
more
we just talked about, and it's like, sorry.
Yeah, it's a shame because it is so good. Like I really dug it, but
I mean, if they would have opened up like against that new Independence Day, for instance, which I think is going to be awful, but you know, I could be wrong. Oh, come on. The first one's terrible.
No, it's not.
It's so bad.
Am I this that out of the loop? Like, I really don't feel like there's a lot of passion for the first Independence Day movie. I feel like
I love that.
I feel like it's a movie, a little passion, right over here.
Yeah,
but I feel like
a fan of that one.
I feel like it's a movie people saw and enjoyed, and then they're like, okay, I'm done now.
What I like about Independence Day, it was slightly better than Godzilla.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of passion.
Which Godzilla?
That one.
Yeah, okay.
I think there was a ton of passion 20 years ago for it, and then 19 years ago, and at around 15, it got a little lower. I mean, it's a sequel to a 20-year-old action movie.
This would be
movie.
Like if in 1995 they released The Towering Inferno 2.
It is so late. You know, like, that's the weird part. I don't...
Well, they were like,
and you
well.
Could, if you had done it, so when did this come out? 97? The first one was 97.
Like Bill Pullman's really
96.
So like, yeah. If you had done this too in like 98, you could have gotten Will Smith back. Like, you absolutely could have gotten him back in 98. Now he's like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe they could have.
Maybe they were filming.
If he hadn't fallen ass backwards in the Suicide Squad, he could have very easily been back in Independence.
That's true.
I think if he was, then you might have I think this movie is going to fizzle. I think it's going
to... I think it looks fun.
I think it's going to be a White House Down or whatever. Olympus has fallen or... It's gonna be.
Olympus Has Fallen was the good one.
Yeah, what was the one that came out and it's like it was supposed to be the big summer movie and London, it just like
London Has Fallen.
No, I think it was.
It
was the other White House.
No,
movie.
White House Down is the Jamie Foxx one. That one bombed.
And that one,
the Olympus Has Fallen did
okay.
Yeah.
But White House Down was supposed to be a big summer movie.
And then
it wasn't.
That was the Channing Tatum.
Olympus Has Fallen came out and it was rated R. And then that one came out, I think it was PG-13. Yeah. And Olympus Has Fallen was just like...
Well, it was Jamie Foxx, like...
It was Gerard Butler shooting people
one
in the
line
face.
And, he was one line in the
yeah,
president.
Get off my
yeah,
Jordans!
Yeah.
And then Aaron Eckhart was just overacting like a madman. Because in Olympus Has Fallen,
yeah,
he's the president in that one. Just going... Just chewing a scenery.
Yeah.
It was great.
It just means I gotta freaking watch Independence Day again.
Independence Day's a fun movie. I like that movie.
No, it is. I think
we'll see.
I mean, I guess I grew up in that time too. I loved Independence Day 20 years ago when it came out. I mean, that was a great 90s action movie, just popcorn movie. Yep. It was the perfect.
Yeah. That's because you saw it when you were 8. We saw it when we were 28.
I saw it when I was... What year is it? 96?
97.
13?
I was 30.
You guys didn't think it was like, just a fun popcorn movie?
I thought I enjoyed it, and then they blew up everything, and then it was like, oh, man, there's like an hour left.
Randy Quaid flying up into a...
Yeah, I mean, I remember liking it fine, but not...
Randy Quaid was like playing the crazy person, and then...
He wasn't acting.
It was fine for the time. I don't look back and like I don't remember walking out being like I need 4 more of these.
Ooh. No, well, no one did for 20 years apparently.
I remember the company that made all the toys, Trendmasters, was based in St. Louis, and I remember we were working with them on some stuff for Mars Attacks and going to their offices and seeing all the stuff, and it was like, yeah,
playing like aliens and stuff,
all of it.
Oh yeah,
seeing all of it before the movie came out, and I remember looking down and like, why are their hands so big on these action figures? Because they were the action figures that had the giant hands. Because I think they like. Sourced the wrong one.
Oh, really?
It was like Jeff Goldblum seems weird. Anyway, they're not around anymore. Sorry.
Wah wah.
But they were good people. So.
Yeah. So good luck to the nice guys. Hopefully it will. Hopefully it ends up at least making a profit. You know, and this could have been the. I mean, I know Iron Man 3 was the return of Shane Black, but like this could have solidified that. I think, and now that it did this kind of box office, I don't know where he's gonna fall back to.
Predator. Well,
I also
he's writing and directing the new Predator. So.
I also think he doesn't really need a huge budget.
No, I think he works better on the smaller side. I mean, Iron Man 3, you're going to get a massive budget anyway. But I'm interested to see what the budget is for Predator, because I feel like the first one wasn't insane. Like it was just Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers in a jungle
and an epic handshake.
Oh man, the greatest handshake of all time. Just veins and sweat and all.
Like,
yeah,
that was like 20 minutes of the movie.
you only see the Predator for 10 minutes, 15
but I think that's
minutes
what makes
at the
it
very
effective.
End. That's
they,
what I'm saying.
They learned the, you know, well, as Spielberg learned,
less is more.
Yeah.
Less is more. Unless you get to Predator 2 when he's all over the place.
Danny Glover, he's really not a buddy cop movie.
It was a buddy cop movie with Danny Glover and the Predator.
Best thing about that movie is the end.
Yep,
Yep. That's the first like shared universe thing I ever remember with the alien skull on the Predator.
Yeah.
Coming at number 8, Money Monster. Still somehow, I guess the older crowd is making their way to the theater.
And Dan's still out.
Some parking spots opened up closer to the door. I don't know. The algos are working out.
Don't use that word.
Sorry. I thought that.
Quants we can use.
Quants.
But it came in at number 8 with $4.1 million. That's a 42% drop, and that is in week 3. So it is at $33.7 million domestic.
Another movie that probably shouldn't have opened up around now.
Yeah.
It's made another $10 million overseas and has a $27 million budget. So, I mean, it's made a little bit of money. It's not a failure, but I don't think quite the blockbuster they expected.
Yeah. I wonder, it's funny, since George Clooney got married, his box offices have taken, he's like Samson, they cut his hair and now it's just like he's spiraling out of control.
I think that's probably okay too.
It is true,
if he's gonna do things like Good Night and Good Luck, good.
Yeah, that I found that movie really boring, but it's dry, but it's a good flick.
It's also representative of the time, so there was a lot of things happening that just kind of happened like on the desk.
Yeah. What was the other one after that? Was it Up in the Air?
Yeah,
which I thought was great. That was really good.
Yeah, so, Up in the Air was huge, and that was a good Clooney movie for sure.
I think he's good.
What?
He's got my baby mama in it. Anna Kendrick's in that movie. She just doesn't know it yet.
Wait a minute. Okay. It's future baby mama?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I was like,
does
wait a minute.
Current if baby mama? Earlier in the podcast, I was in the future, and I'm afraid I have some bad news.
Oh, no!
Did you never see Joe and Anna Kendrick together in the future? I could have sworn that was going to happen.
You and me both, man. I was pulling for it.
Yeah.
But you and Melissa McCarthy are getting along famously.
I'll take that money.
Sugar mama.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Little do we know, Ghostbusters tanked her career.
Yeah. She's now selling hot dogs on the corner at baseball games.
So we're seeing new trailers for that too. So
I didn't like that trailer either.
Yeah.
I liked it better than the first trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was better than dogs. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
It's like a stinkier turd.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean,
it doesn't look good by any means.
I don't know. I really don't know. There's a whole scene with Leslie Jones where she's got the thing on her shoulders.
Yeah.
It looks like something out of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
I mean, and besides
Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's my issue.
It's like they're going real.
Real cartoony.
Candy on these.
Yeah. Yep. And, that's what I liked about the old one is, when they, in the taxi cab. Like, that's a gross ghost.
That was also practical.
Yeah. So, I'm really worried about it.
I mean, obviously, we all know I'm not a huge fan of Melissa McCarthy, but I'm not going to not give a whole movie a shot with a different cast for that. Right. And I think the other three are really funny. Kate McKinnon is the best thing on SNL.
I really hope this does not derail her. Yeah,
but
at
she
all.
Is so good. So, and Leslie Jones, I think, is funny. I like the other people, aside from Melissa McCarthy, so it's not that, but it just doesn't look good. I want
the movie to work.
I want the misogynistic hate
when everybody got on it because of the fact that it's all female. I was like, well, that's
who cares?
Stupid.
Yeah.
But I want it to be good. And I don't know.
And you don't want a crappy movie.
Because I'm going to have to sit there for 2 hours. I really want it to be good.
Yeah. And I obviously love the first one. And
I love the second one as well.
The
second one is camptastic.
I like the first half.
That second one is camptastic.
They're both great, but it's I'm not a president of the fan club.
Statue of Liberty with goop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not how dare they remake it? But if they're going to remake it, make a good movie. And I just don't know.
I don't know.
So we'll have to wait and see. But
the best thing the second one did was revive Jackie Wilson's musical career.
Yeah, that's right.
Bit.
Yeah.
And, we got The Razor's Edge, which some people like, some people don't, out of Bill Murray.
I thought he did that for the first one.
Was it the first one? I thought it was the second one.
When I don't know.
To the Googles.
To the Googles.
Yeah. I thought it was the second. I could be wrong. Either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Great.
I do like it. Just, they use the big old joystick and
Well, there was another one in the 40s, Razor's Edge was 84.
Okay.
So
Ghostbusters,
honestly,
was
the,
what?
It, 80,
it, I saw Ghostbusters in theaters.
Yeah, that would have been like
so
80, 84,
83, 84.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Interestingly enough, the original Razor's Edge, the
Tyrone Powers one?
Who was in the, but it got made, for the same reason.
Like a one for me, one for you.
The actor was, I think he had played, is he playing Zorro maybe?
So that's why I'm going to say Tyrone. No, I think it's Tyrone Power.
Yeah, and like they wanted him to make one more Zorro movie, and he was like, sure. No. And then he was like, I want to make Razor's Edge. And they're like, well, then enjoy making this next Zorro movie. And he was like, okay. But yeah, he did, like, Bill Murray didn't want to do Ghostbusters. And so he
fought this movie even back then.
Yeah, and the studio, he wanted to do Razor's Edge because he wanted to get more serious.
Right.
And they were like, we're not going to do Razor's Edge. And then basically they were like, we'll make Razor's Edge if you'll do Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Okay.
And what's funny about, like, if you watch Razor's Edge now, is it kind of fits into, like, Broken Flowers and Lost in Translation. And
it's totally, okay.
Like, it's just weird because it's from 20 years ago, but you watched
it. He was already doing
30
it.
30 years ago. Yeah. Whoops. Yeah. Sorry. Huh. Now, there's a period there. the whole 90s thing, I'm still like...
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened? When were the 90s? 10 years ago, right? No, 20? Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. How long was I listening to Hurt?
This is how our parents feel about the 60s?
Yes.
I don't know why that happened.
Weird.
But
it happened.
Yeah.
Number 9, Love and Friendship made $2.5 million in week 3, so it is up to $3.5 million.
Don't know what that is.
Whatever that is, yeah. Back to Razor's Edge real quick, and then I'll stop so we can finish this. There's a scene in Razor's Edge where he gives a eulogy, and he says something about, like, you were a drunk, fat son of a bitch.
Lazy,
and nobody,
stupid.
Nobody ever liked you.
Yeah.
That is,
you will not be missed.
Yeah, you will not be missed. That is the eulogy he gave at John Belushi's funeral.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty effective. And he actually does that for Brian Doyle Murray in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His brother's in the movie, even though they don't play brothers.
It's a good movie. All right, fine. Huh. Let's give that a look.
Yeah. Love and Friendship looks like it is a period piece directed by Whit Stillman and starring Kate Beckinsale, Stephen Fry, Xavier Samuel, and Chloe Savini.
Oh, you had me at Kate Beckinsale.
If you say so.
Yeah.
Just FYI. And rounding out the top 10, The Darkness came in with another 845,000. So this opened wide last weekend. That's a 63% drop.
I'll tell you right now, Blumhouse doesn't give a what anything else makes because they just signed the biggest deal they've ever signed. They signed Halloween. They're going to do a Halloween with Carpenter as the executive producer and creative consultant.
Yeah.
And he's doing the score.
I hope
like,
it's good.
It's gonna be.
Yeah,
because
Carpenter.
They're saying he has been reinvigorated. So I don't know if you know this. Like, he's put out 2 albums.
Yeah.
And it's called Lost Themes, and they're amazing.
Yeah.
And he's gone on tour with them, and he is like, he went to like a sound check or like a pre-show, and they didn't think anything of it. And he's like, as soon as he walked on stage and did the first theme, like, not only did he do the stuff from Lost Themes, but he did like the Escape from New York and Halloween, all that stuff. He's like, the crowd came unglued.
And his keyboard only has one key, which is amazing. It's this one. Dun, dun.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got to do.
Dun, dun. Keep going.
Nope.
Dun, dun. Play around me.
Okay.
Dun, dun.
I can do that. But yeah, like, they're saying that, like, he has got new life.
Well, I don't know if you, like, follow Guillermo del Toro on Twitter, but he went on this amazing,
love letter.
Journey of love letter. And of course, you know, because he went to dinner with Carpenter, and he's like, you're so amazing. And Carpenter's, you know, like, people, they look at, like, the thing, you know, the thing came out and it was kind of,
I didn't realize that it bombed.
It just, people didn't, that's not what was happening around that time. And now it's like a classic, and Carpenter's like, well, crap loaded of good it does me now.
A lot of good it does me now.
But it's like, well, it kind of does, though, because now he's
kept you in the spotlight. Like, he's responsible for some of the best.
A lot of the 70s filmmakers are starting to be celebrated more. De Palma's got a documentary coming out. So it's
on,
like,
him?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm kind of like, well, good.
Yeah.
And good on Blumhouse. He's like, well, Blumhouse was like, well, what's Carpenter money going to cost you?
Sure,
whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And a
bomb, like, pop and a foot rip.
It's like when Aykroyd started rounding up all those blues musicians, you know? Because it's like, people don't realize that when Blues Brothers came out, like, those guys weren't working. They were playing clubs to 200 and 300 people at
night. Well, it was pretty much like, it was Booker T and the MGs minus Booker T, you know? It was like Donald Duck Dunn, Steve Cropper. I mean, it was like, well,
What are you guys doing?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Carpenter hasn't really done... I mean, I don't think he's written anything... Oh, man. It's been a while. Maybe The Thing? When did Escape from... L.A.?
Yeah.
Because I feel like he
that
wrote
that. Was the that. 90s.
I feel like he wrote that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I think... Did he?
Maybe.
Maybe.
He just I think did, there's something called Find and Replace.
Right. I would say the exact same thing.
But like, maybe
find
Ghost
New
from
York
Mars.
Replace with Los Angeles.
L.A. Done. God. But yeah, I think that's like... Yeah. That's going to be their next Paranormal Activity. Like that's going to be the one that gets the next 90 movies made.
So the zombie ones are done.
Which were the zombie ones?
Halloween. Didn't he do Halloween?
One and two.
Oh, Rob Zombie did one
Rob
and two.
Zombie.
Oh,
he was not zombie movies.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, Rob's not going to happen.
I was like,
yeah,
Carpenter and Rob Zombie.
There was talk that he was going to do a three and then it just kind of fizzled out. Then there was talk that they were going to do sort of like they're going to reboot it, but yeah. It was going to have like, a Rob Zombie feel, but like stick closer to the Carpenter stuff.
Yeah, I think they tried to do like that. They did it twice.
They did,
and it was and nothing.
The zombies.
I
thought the zombies. I thought the zombie stuff were just different enough.
Yeah, it's like well, they felt like Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah, yeah.
With like he was playing with the Carpenter action or the, yeah, the Halloween right. action figure set.
I think that first one had a good like that first opening mm-hmm. like felt good, and then it went bad. Crazy in a Rob Zombie world.
Yeah.
Second one was all Rob Zombie world.
And I don't think we need another one.
Nope.
And now it was won't. Like it was like putting Halloween characters in the Devil's Rejects, right?
Pretty
I mean
much.
It was just one of those
his idea
slasher
was like
type
what would happen or, like it was like a real life thing.
Crazy
like, what world. Would happen to this girl
yeah.
A year later after she was just attacked and all yeah.
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 And so
she'd spoilers. Have a book deal. She'd be on Dr. Phil. No,
that was that was Malcolm McDowell. He got the book deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So The Darkness has a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's at $10 million on a $4 million budget. So, I mean, Blumhouse is making money.
Foot rub and a bomb pop.
That's it. So, I mean...
That's what they gave to Carpenter.
Yeah. Well, I think to get him, yeah. I think it's 3 bomb pops
oh,
and a back rub.
Oh, my god!
You really got to step
yeah.
it up because that has
with
a
happy ending. Oh, yeah, well, we got to take care of. Yeah, I got to take care of the old guy.
Come on, it's Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
there's
right.
never a happy ending.
That's true. Plissken got away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he took the tape with him.
Call him Snake.
Oh, man. Yeah. So good. Especially when he was on the Love Boat.
it was classic.
Yeah. Perfect.
No.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Oh, wait. Batman v Superman. Where's that at?
I am curious. Is it like, you know, out of curiosity.
Is it the 50 Cent?
Yeah, theater? Right, right.
Half of it.
It's the first movie ever to go into the quarter bin.
It is interesting. They've changed Superman's costume in the comics to sort of resemble the Man of Steel suit. Like, he's got, like, gauntlets. Not like gauntlets, but, like, the design on the bottom of his hands right. and stuff like that.
And on the left one, it says Martha. On the right one, it says Forever.
Apparently.
It's on his knuckles.
I don't know if this is correct, but from the look of it, it's not in the top 33.
Good.
So, it's gone, I guess?
Good.
Wow. That had a short run.
You know, Jeff Johns is like, I got it.
I mean, they just need to put that thing out on video and start making some money. Because, you know, we'll do over 100
I will buy
million.
It. I will buy the uncut version just yeah. because I
I'll gotta, buy it because it's Batman. And
because you
know.
Are like a glut.
I
still haven't bought Man of Steel.
Oh, really?
I've seen it on deal sites for like $5. And I'm
the,
like,
The 3D Director's Cut Special Edition 10 Collectors thing that I bought opening weekend or opening week for $40 yeah. is 10 on Amazon.
I'm like the guy in Dirty Harry.
Everything
still too like, much.
I got to know. I got to know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's Batman. I gotta buy it.
Yeah,
but
it's a superhero. Like I own Punisher Warzone. I own like the Spirit. Like yeah.
Oh,
I own,
that's woo. One too far.
Nope.
I can't.
No, it's a comic book movie. Swamp Thing. Yeah, I own that one too.
Hey.
I'm just saying. It's what,
do you own Doc Savage with Ron Ely?
No, I don't think. I don't know where to find that.
I think because Ron Ely had problems with younger ladies that you may not see it. Remember, he was hosting. One of those pageant shows.
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah,
I do own the 1970 Spider-Man
TV. I think he ran
show.
Into some problems.
Were they like, was it like a teenage pageant?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like,
you notice his career kind of just disappeared.
Well,
career. Well, yeah.
He was Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze.
He was hosting the reboot of Name That Tune.
Yes.
We can't all be winners.
Yeah. I'm just, well, that nice. Was a, that yeah. was a real thing.
Right? Wow. So,
okay. On I that old timey reference.
Boy TV show, just for the record. Like, that's how far mine goes.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like me owning Dolan Jones' Boys and Hearts.
Yeah, games. Right,
and
right,
I
right.
do. I own both of them. Yep. So we all got our thing.
Flash
so.
Season one. So not I, the CW version. Right.
That was a good show.
That was a good show.
But I guess that's enough for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, we are also available online. If you would like to continue the conversation, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. There.
Good
we have
job.
A website, realspoilers.com. Or Dirty Pirate Hookers, if we ever got that working.
It should have been up for weeks now, so I think we're good to go.
I didn't know. Like, it was, it kept setting right. off people. I'm trying
not,
to know.
Not since that first week, though, because I, like, submitted it to Norton Safe Search or something. Like, that should be fixed.
I'm sure Norton was like, absolutely not.
They approved it. Yeah. It says okay with a check mark next to it now. So I,
it is now appears to be working. My Google yeah. Chrome is no longer yeah. saying it's malware.
That was just that one time. And like, I would, wouldn't you love to be at least see the guy working at Norton that has to approve those things? And it gets to his desk and he has to go approve dirtypiratehookers.com. What
right.
am I going to get?
Like, that's office space right there. Like,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But then he looks at it and he's like, oh, a movie site. Yeah. Okay. That is not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
So you can also find us at dirtypiratehookers.com. So there you go. So that's it for this week. I think we are done. Or this episode. It's coming up on the next episode. We will tackle X-Men Apocalypse. So there. So until next time, you've been warned. Fue de golpe, amor, de flechazo, algo parecido diría yo. Es esta pasión que escribo, solo el ritmo de la canción. Es esto amor en los 80. O es por excitación. ¿Cómo bailas? Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.